Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Are you sure?
Got it.
I mean, it sounds, the volume sounds right, but the quality doesn't sound right on your mic. Are you sure?
Say some stuff.
Me?
Yeah, hello? You sound off. Hello? You sounded, yeah, sounded better nice. Earlier.
Well, I'm sounds like titty. Earlier. No, I'm I'm titty. Wondering if that mic is if you're even being picked up on that mic, or is it your webcam? Yeah, that you're not on that mic
it's,
right now.
It's on. Yeah, you gotta switch the inputs button.
I need to fix it. Okay, let me leave real quick. It's easier actually, to do if I leave.
No, don't leave. Don't leave. Don't leave. Don't leave.
Leave.
You don't have to leave. Go to your at the bottom left of the Skype Zoom menu. There's that little microphone. Click the arrow, and you could select your microphone. Input.
Oh shit!
Yeah. Cool.
Every day is a school day.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, much, oh, way much better. Better. Much, much.
You
better.
Know, I'm not gonna lie. Considering how far I think his camera is from him. I think the microphone is solid. I'm really surprised that the quality of that, like, it's not amazing, but it's
still
fine.
That Logitech camera, right, Nick?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty half decent, but anyways.
Yeah, it's not bad.
You guys all ready?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
God damn right, I'm ready.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast of the year 2023, the premier official. Flagship, international, every yada 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 podcast of LRMonline.com and the Genreverse Podcast Network. I'm Nick. I'm joined here by Jammer and
Yo.
Danny, and then we got Kyle on the ones and the twos.
Hello.
So, how's everyone this new year?
Oh, it's been a great,
great
year so far.
Yeah, ready to hit the ground running with all of the fun geeky stuff. I'm not gonna lie, before we started this getting ready for this episode, I was thinking, what the hell is coming out this year? I don't know if I'm excited for anything. Well, that's wrong. There's a lot of great shit coming out in 2023, and I'm really like, it was hard to narrow it down. Yeah, there's a lot
of anticipated should be great shit, because you never know.
Well, yeah.
Unless
that's
it's a Zelda game or something.
That we're
you'll never know.
That's fair.
Yeah. We're basically doing the opposite of last week, everyone, where we're looking forward, not backward, to what we're anticipating the most this year in several categories, including film and TV and other areas of fun. So,
why do you sound like a robot? What's happening?
I don't know. I was trying.
And other areas of fun.
A fun. Funbot 3000. So, with that out of the way, 2003 is a very robotic. 2023 has become a robotic year. But,
I mean, AI art and AI.
Uh-oh.
Nope, you're
holding
good.
Tight.
Carry on.
All right. Carrying
okay.
on.
So, we are going to start with most anticipated film of the year. Or movie, if you prefer not to consider them film, like some directors. And in this category, as is tradition, we'll be starting with Danny. So, Danny.
Is this a tradition?
No,
tradition?
No, wait.
Oh,
no,
like
I looked at it wrong in order.
Yeah,
it's Jammer.
God damn it.
I'm on this. Phones suck. They're too
just
small.
Just to keep Kyle happy. Keep you on your toes, Kyle.
Wasn't that the phone that you were just talking about? You're really excited to have gotten. Now you're like accusing everything.
All phones.
I bet you
small.
The phone is the reason why we don't have a freaking House of Representatives in session currently in the U.S. It's the reason why. All right, let me talk about some movies here. My favorite movie. There's a like I said. There's a lot of great stuff coming out, and there was actually like a top three that I had, and for me they were. Hold on one second. They were. All animated. They were all animated and it was glorious, but I couldn't pick one. And actually, if you look at the New Year's video, I said a different movie from what I'm about to say now because, you know, I did a little bit more research this time and remembered, oh, yeah. But also, to be honest, I could probably shuffle around these, the top three, any day of the week. But today, on this day, my favorite or my most anticipated movie of the year is Super Mario Brothers, the movie. The movie from nice. Illumination wow. Entertainment. It looks so good, and I think it does what it needs to do. It's doing currently just by existing and looking, first of all, visually amazing. Tonally, it looks very interesting as well. It looks like it's really striking that really happy balance. But of course, having sort of the danger, but not too much danger. Like Bowser is threatening, but he's not like really threatening. So it's really striking that balance really well. But for me, it's making me want to go back and play all the other Mario games. And I'm wishing, God, I wish Nintendo, please surprise us in 2023 by saying there is a Super Mario Brothers, the movie video game, because I want a Super Mario Brothers video game that looks like this movie. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm also excited to see how Mario and Luigi, like seeing them in, I'm assuming, New York, in their plumbing business, and what that world is like before they head into the Mushroom Kingdom, because it does seem like they're going for that Portal Fantasy angle. So very excited for that movie. Right now, it's my most anticipated, but there are a couple others that I also like, and they're both animated. I'll let you think about what those two others could be.
Well, I do want to add this comment to that. Yes. I think more likely that a Super Mario Brothers, the movie, the game, will be getting Lego Super Mario Brothers movie, the game.
Probably, but I don't like that.
I don't think you will,
Lego
but... games,
but I just, it's not going to fill that void that I'm feeling right now.
I know, it's not the same.
Also, you know, I just will say, I'm going to say it for the record. I've always had faith in Illumination Entertainment. Everyone seems was won over by the trailer. For me, their movies haven't been great, but they are very savvy business people. They know how to effectively utilize their capital in tandem with brands in ways that are appealing to mass markets of people. I mean, look at the Minions. Look at Despicable Me. You can look at the Life of Secret Life of Pets. Not a great movie, but a concept that kids really love and that parents can put up with. Sing, which I think is underrated. I love Sing. I love the first one, and the second one's good too. They're not the best, but they are effective in what they want. Go ahead, Nick.
I was gonna say I have a guess for one of yours other anticipated animated films.
Okay,
it was one you left off of your list that we did for the short video we did that you can check out on Genreverse podcastnetwork.com. I mean, not .com, but on Amazon.
What? No, YouTube.
YouTube. God. Fucking hell.
You need to become a morning person. You need to like have a little bit of coffee before you start here with us so that you're a little bit more self-aware.
Coffee gives me squirts. It's going to be Across the Spider-Verse. Across the Spider-Verse is on Jammer's list.
Yes. Okay. Across the Spider-Verse is the other one that I had a hard time pushing down because literally I was like, and it is, hold on a second, let me double check here to make sure. It is something that I have coming up later in this list, and it is a reason why it's not on this part of the list.
I know where it's showing up.
So anyways, that's it for me for a movie. I'm excited. On to the next person.
Danny, I believe, is next.
Is that me? Is it me now? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you looking at the right phone?
The phone says so.
All right. I'm on the flip side, or not the flip side of Jammer, but I'm an action kind of guy. I very much like my action movies. And so whereas Jammer's kind of looked at the animated films that are coming this year, I was looking with anticipation to the action films that we've got coming. We've got some great stuff coming this year. We've got Indiana Jones and we've got John Wick number 4, which is getting me quite amped, but it has to be, and Jammer was giving us the little intro music there, it has to be for me Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. I mentioned this in the New Year's video and I'll say it here too. from a perspective of coming on the back of Maverick last year with Tom Cruise, until very recently having the biggest film of 2022, although I did hear today that now Avatar, The Way of the Smurfs, has actually taken over with most internationally. Money made. Internationally, but that really was the film for me last year. So seeing Tom again doing some running, jumping off shit, blowing up shit, punching people, and all that other stuff that we come to love with Mission Impossible films, there's a lot of stuff coming out this year, and a lot of it is potentially, and we get to this category later on in the show, potentially going to be pretty damn good. But I'm pretty 99.9% confident that Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 is going to be as awesome as we think it is. So therefore, I am most anticipating this one. Bring it on.
Well, it looks great. It looks fantastic.
I wonder what I'm going to pick. Oh, yeah. It's Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1.
Shock, yes. Horror, surprise.
I'm actually surprised a little bit because I was thinking to myself, I'm like, is it going to be that or is it going to be Indiana Jones?
Or is Indiana Jones also going to slip into the later category that we've all referred to?
Okay.
Once on so this that, show.
That's
which
fair.
I think
that's
Danny's fair. Might be the same. We'll see.
My biggest concern I have with Indiana Jones currently is that I keep wanting to call it the Dural of Destiny.
Why?
Because it looks like it's spelled that way. The font they use makes the A look like an R.
And is that a thing? Is that actually a Dural? Thing? If I looked it up in the dictionary, would I find it?
No, I don't think sure? so. I don't know. Damage. Maybe.
Anyway, everyone knows how much I love Tom Cruise and Mission, especially the Mission Impossible franchise. It's been discussed on the site, on the Slack, here on Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, where we end with a Mission Impossible quote every time. Sorry, that was a burp.
Two of them, technically.
Yeah, two of them, technically. if all three lines get said.
And we don't screw it up.
Yeah. It's hard without Jonesy. But yeah, same as some of Danny said, Tom Cruise, I think, still has the best star power out there. Just, you know, he's still an award-winning actor. He's able to, or at least nominated. I don't remember if he won an Oscar or not. Actually, he's been nominated for stuff.
Here, I'll look it up. You go ahead and continue.
Okay. But I mean, just in general, as an action star, he's absolutely unmatched in that. Not only does he now... You know, he's famous for doing his own stunts, and they get crazier and crazier. But he does stunts stuntmen aren't allowed to do in other movies, and they would just CGI.
So
he's been nominated for 3, has not won any.
Thanks, producer Jammer.
I said I would look it up.
I'm messing with you. I appreciate it, but yeah, you got it.
See, maybe this will be where he wins. No, he won't win for a movie like this.
No, he won't. But I doubt he'll ever win, but he doesn't need to win. He's got that Tom Cruise star power. Like you said, he's like one of 3 remaining stars in Hollywood right now. I think if you were to name 3 stars, it would be like him, The Rock, and oh my God.
Will Smith?
Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, you're right. Ryan Reynolds kind of is.
Basically, and the way I categorize a star is somebody who's literally able to wrap an entire movie around their persona.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Also, I would say like, those are 3 whose name, the actor's name, could be put bigger on the poster than the movie, than the name of the movie. Like,
it's like a book author. It's like Stephen King on his book, those covers.
Well, I remember the poster for Secret Life of Pets. The Rock, it says Dwayne Johnson way
I
bigger
think
than it says
DC
the title.
Super Pets.
Yeah. Stop making movie about dogs, everyone. Anime dogs. But anyway, no,
how
Mission Impossible.
You?
Excited for all the normal stuff. The 2 stunts that seem most exciting are the one they did the special feature on in front of Avatar, and you can also watch it online, which is him jumping off a cliff on a motorcycle and then having to pull his parachute without getting tangled up in the motorcycle and falling to his death. And he's doing it in like a circular area where he can also slam up against the walls if his parachute isn't caught by the wind correctly. And then also they crash a real train in this film. I don't think he's going to be on the train, but rather than doing a CGI train, I remember seeing them on set, they went and just crashed a train. So
Tom Cruise is driving the train, Nick. He's driving that train. That's how
I think the real question is, when is Tom Cruise gonna merge forces with Christopher Nolan? And what will that entail? What will the result of that?
I saw that as a hilarious tweet, and it was like, if that ever happened, Tom Cruise would definitely be killed on screen by Christopher Nolan, and Tom Cruise would be cool with it, because Christopher Nolan does everything for real, everything in quotes. So yeah, that was my obvious pick for most anticipated film of the year. Are you guys ready to move on to most anticipated TV show?
Yes, sir.
Let's do it.
All right. Whoa, I need to turn off my phone sound, but this is a new phone. I have trouble with it. So for most participated TV show, we'll be starting with Danny.
Oh, that's me. Now, again, like last year, Christmas. Are you sure it's me? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Final answer. All right. Like Christmas, there was so many things that came out last year that were, you know, season two, season three, et cetera, et cetera. And this year is no different. We've got continuing seasons of some great shows. I've avoided those, even though I am chomping at the bit for Ted Lasso, obviously. So I had to go with a couple of things, and I went for my honorable mention goes to The Last of Us, which I am of the new things that could be a bit dodgy is looking pretty damn good at the moment. But my top one has to be, and as a Star Wars fan, it's been a good, well, last year was a good year. Yeah, we've had some hitses, I sound like we had some hits and misses, but generally as a Star Wars fan, just having this stuff on screen, it makes me happy. And I was super happy with the appearance of Ahsoka last year. So the show itself coming on this year is my most anticipated TV show. I'm pretty confident that they're going to carry on the good work that they did in Mandalorian with her own show. And by all reports, from what I've seen, and I know that producer Carl may have seen a few more things, but from what I've seen, it's going well. It looks great. There's some great other actors that would join the cast. So that's my most anticipated TV show, Ahsoka, on Disney Plus.
All right. My turn. If I'm double checking the list. Yeah, it's me. What did I choose? I'm just kidding. For TV shows are a very difficult category. I knew even when writing it down, because if it's a new show, oftentimes I won't even hear about it until Netflix releases the trailer or whoever. And Netflix is very good at saving the trailer until like it comes out in 2 weeks. Even
that's right. An exaggeration. So we won't even know if something looks good until they release that trailer. Yeah.
So exactly. Mine had to be a season two or something. I felt unless it was The Last of Us,
unless
which
it was
is
a franchise,
yeah.
or something. Yeah.
So I decided to go with Loki season two.
Oh, yeah, good pick.
That's probably being the most important Disney Plus Marvel show up to this point, which has the most influence and direct connection to the on-screen MCU. I'm very excited to see further evolution of the TVA, especially also that they're rumored to be involved with Deadpool 3 in the film, which actually might be called Deadpool and Wolverine. They were... Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman.
Don't trust
were tweeting
anything
that
those before. Fuckers say. They're just like trolling constantly.
Oh, okay. Well, Wolverine and Deadpool was what they were like tweeting each other about. But I'm just really excited to see further evolution of those characters, especially past even just, you know, Loki, Sylvie, all those characters. But seeing hopefully more of at least Renslayer. If not, actually some Jonathan Majors as some variant of Kang involved, because she could very well be his main motivation for wanting to take down universes, kill the Avengers at some point, because one of the comic storylines is they're married and stuff. He loses her, and that's kind of why he's trying to... He's
you mean Sylvie and Loki?
No, Renslayer and Hume Remains.
Okay.
Kang, they have a big and then she's obviously already on some secret mission for him at the end of the first one when she season where she just kind of takes off. And we know Kang's in charge with second season begins based on the new statue that showed up at the TVA at the end of season one. So I think it will learn and it follows.
Wait, Kang. I don't know if Kang's in charge at the end. He was killed. And therefore, I think he had
a statue
built after him.
No, he replaced the other guys. This old statue was the three Time Lords who were in charge. And when he came back, the new statue.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I guess I interpreted that he had died and they made a statue of him. But
no,
that makes more sense.
It's like what he
Kyle,
said.
Kyle, I don't need your condescending tone here, sir. Get back to producing.
I am. I'm correcting your perception of reality. He dies, which causes the timeline to break apart, which means other Kangs could come through, which is exactly what he says right before he dies. And that statue is because another time guy came through, another Kang came through, and altered the time. Why would they build a statue to him?
Dude, they have, we have statues of dead people all over the fucking place. What are you talking about? That's a very logical assumption.
But the TVA didn't know anything about him. They thought it was the time lords or whatever, the timekeepers, time lords. That's Doctor Who. Anyways,
on that note, I need to revisit Loki season one without a doubt.
Which
it was a lot of fun. And it has the most baller opening title sequence of all of them.
And then, if I'm not mistaken, I thought Ant-Man and the Wasp was like April, but it's February, right? Yeah. So yeah, it'll be interesting, especially to watch Loki season two. Coming off of
when is Loki season two start?
March, I believe.
March. Okay.
So it'll be a month after Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, which has the official Kang. Which, because these different variants aren't all Kang, they're.
Are you ready to be really disappointed when Kang isn't in season two at all?
If that's the case, it's fine. Like I said, if they develop Renslayer and stuff more in her arc, that could very well lead into what drives Kang for a lot of the sequel movies.
Also,
I just want to make sure that we're adjusting our expectations, because you never know.
There is no official date for Loki season two. Not even not even a month. It's just supposed to be mid 23.
Maybe even a little bit later
this year.
But yeah, I feel like it'll continue to have the closest connection to the multiverse saga and Kang himself, even if Jonathan Majors does not appear in the show.
They're just waiting to see how confused everybody is by their multiverse nonsense before they release Loki, and then they're going to make some changes and have some reshoots, and it'll be launched in December to explain all the nonsense that has come up with this plate so far. Including what Kyle has just had to explain to Jammer about what happened with statues and stuff at the end of season one. This is why I get to talk about this in a few minutes' time, and that's all I'll say.
Oh.
Okay.
So now I believe it is your turn, Jammer. What TV show or streaming show?
I didn't follow any of the rules that Danny talked about, you know, when it comes to existing TV shows used, like, you know what, I'm gonna go for it. And the reason why, so I know last Friday or last whenever we released that New Year's video, last week, Severance was my favorite TV show of the year, and I was really close to thinking, okay, I'm looking forward to season two, but this is the year that Ted Lasso is wrapping up. This is the final season of Ted Lasso, and I just have to put that down as my most anticipated, because I will definitely be watching that week by week easily, and I'm sure that the ending is going to make me weep. So I couldn't not do Ted Lasso season three, even though it does feel a bit lazy that I'm going for like a season three of a show, but it is what it is. And that is my wonderful, wonderful pick there. And once again, I have to all eternally thank Nick for recommending the show to me, even though he still doesn't think he recommended the show to me.
So, that's right. Somehow magic happened.
Just on Ted Lasso, buddy, you mentioned that it's the last season of the show. Do you think, though, that they would come back and maybe make a Disney Plus movie of the show?
Apple TV Plus.
Oh, not Disney Plus.
Apple TV. Because we haven't seen them, you know, in any kind of major tournament. We obviously have no idea what's happening in season three, but there is a potential there for a movie of some description involving them in some sort of championship or cup game or something. That's always backstory. So I think, although they've committed to saying this is the last season, I don't think, or at least I hope not, I don't think it's the last we'll see of Ted Lasso. That's for sure.
You don't think so? Interesting. Not. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'd be down to see a movie. Give me a movie of that. That'd be wonderful.
Or like a spinoff of one of the characters. You know how.
I don't know about that. I don't know about a spinoff of one of the characters. But I know they had talked about. They had talked about having Ted Lasso going to a different place and doing different things, but I'm not sure. You'd have to do something different. You couldn't just do the same thing again. I'm not sure what the approach would be.
Moves to India and teaches cricket or coaches cricket.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is everyone held their peace for TV show?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
The next one I put was anticipated movie or TV show that you have worries about. Let's see. I start with this one. It is the other movie that actually ties for my most, almost ties for my most anticipated movie, except for the fact that I have worries about it because the franchise is not, the franchise was not being consistent as far as most recent sequel. And it's very hard to pull off what I still call delayed sequels, as in like it's a sequel to a franchise that's over 40 years old. The last movie was what, 12 years ago, more than 12? No, yeah, 10 years ago. I think it was 2000. No, it's older than that. But Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny is the one I'm most worried about while also being super excited, because it is hard to hit those expectations. Especially since it was my previously my favorite franchise. It kind of fluctuates between that and Mission Impossible still. I have faith in James Mangold, who wrote and directed the film, that he's promised that it won't be like the last movie where it's jokes about him being too old for doing stuff, but he actually will be too old to do a lot of stuff and kind of the style of Logan without getting that serious. And that, yeah, this is kind of just like his final, like, thing he has to do, probably something, since it opens with a de-aged Ford, I'm assuming it ties directly into whatever he's after in the opening scene, and maybe it's something that got away that he has to finally come back and get do this one last thing before he can retire peacefully. And I'm excited. I mean, yeah, you have like Saul and all these other great characters back that they've skipped last time because geographically it didn't make sense to bring Saul to South America. But yeah, very excited for the film, but also Indiana Jones, any kind of sequel like that, especially after the last Indiana Jones, gives you worries as much as it gives you excitment. As in, like, if they will screw it up.
Yeah, with you 100%. I've been an Indiana Jones fan since I first watched Raiders of the Lost Ark, and I happily tell this story all the time. I used to watch the VHS of Raiders of the Lost Ark every Saturday morning without fail. I could probably even to this day still quote it line from line. It really was for me the perfect adventure, action, Saturday afternoon, even I watched it in the morning, kind of movie. And, you know, even with all the analysis and stuff that goes on afterwards about him being a terrible archaeologist and a grave robber and all that nonsense, I never let it stop me loving the, you know, Indiana Jones as a franchise. I loved Temple of Doom. It was a darker film for sure. But for me as a kid, when I watched it, you know, the roller coaster ride that was the minecart chase, etc. It was just fantastic. You can't, you know, you can see that they're models and stuff now. But as a kid, it was fantastic filming. And for me, Last Crusade was a great ending at that time. It really was a great ending to what we thought was a trilogy. Like you and a lot of people, number four, that one with the space aliens or whatever it was just so disappointing on many levels that it leaves no doubt that this one has people worried. But we've got hopefully lessons learned from the feedback of number four. We got Mr. Mangold in charge, who's got at that moment of him being cast as in being chosen to direct, put it in a little bit more safe hands, should we say. So I'm exactly like you. It's a tight line between most anticipated and most worried about it. So, I totally understand the dichotomy of Indiana Jones, but I'm with you. I wish it well. I really do.
I hope. I have more faith probably than I should, but I hope it's good. But yeah, again, still worried about. Jammer, what are you excited for, but also worried it won't live up to your expectations?
Well, that is my, I guess, runner-up or one of my runners-up for the most anticipated movie, and that is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Oh, really?
I mean, the trailer looks good. It looks fine, but I also worry that that whole mentality of the sequel, you have to go bigger in order to be better, and I just worry that there could be too many Spider-Men running around, and there is obviously a way to make it work. I think I discussed it in our trailer discussion, where as long as they keep the focus on Miles Morales and whatever his core struggle is, the number of Spider-Man around him isn't necessarily a thing. But I'm always concerned when you have, I'm trying to think here of like when you have creative people who really succeed, they take a chance, they take a risk and they succeed. Then they are like, okay, well, what are the things that we did that we loved? We love the number of Spider-Man. Let's go bigger with that. We love taking animation to a whole new level. Let's go bigger with that. And I just worry that it's possible they could lose sight of what actually made it special to begin with, which is Miles Morales and his struggles with his new powers. What is the natural progression of that? And can they effectively capture that without losing what made the other first one so good? So that is why it is my concern, because the trailer, it looked good. It looked fine. It didn't get me super excited, though, because I was like, okay, there's lots of Spider-Man they're fighting with. It was just a scene, though. So I'm just concerned because that first one was so good. It's probably definitely in my top 10 movies of all time, most likely. And I just want to I got to come in with managed expectations, because going in with expectations like, oh, this has to match that, otherwise it sucks, is stupid. So part of it is I hope that they're able to capture what they need to in order to make it a successful sequel. Part of it is me coming in and not being like, this better be a classic, otherwise it sucks and it's disappointing, because that's objectively stupid. So yeah, that's Across the Spider-Verse part
and
one.
Just like a Jonesy. Well, actually, didn't they change the title of the other one, Beyond the Spider-Verse?
You're right.
Which is what I wanted, yes, from the beginning. But no, I got to echo that, just like Danny echoed my Indiana Jones fears, and that I think they might, if they're not careful, they'll go too big, too many characters. We've actually seen that producing duo make the same mistake with Lego Movie franchise already. And it's also still Sony, and I know they have a creative control, but Sony is known for being like, why don't you add Venom into your already finished script? We'd love to see Venom in there. So Sony is known for adding too much, trying to set up too much. So I hope it will be good. I hope they maintain most of the
and
control.
Also,
McKay
it
and
is a
Miller,
part one. It is a part one. It's the first half of a story. And if you know me, I'm still that person dying on the hill saying Avengers Infinity War does not feel like a complete movie to me. And that's what keeps it from being a satisfying experience. So if this next one comes out and it's still great, but it doesn't feel like a complete movie, I'll probably still be a little bit disappointed.
Danny, your turn. You already hinted at it. And yes.
Yeah, I did. And I did have a little check with producer Carl on whether or not this would mess up things for him. For sure, I'm worried about Indiana Jones. Being a big fan of the movies and the character, it's a worry for me. But I think you guys know how frustrated I've been and disappointed I've been with Marvel Phase 4 in general, particularly the multiverse and what for me is not diving to as not having enough, or should I say enough, as much knowledge on the whole thing. It's been very frustrating for me. I have no idea what's going on. Each and every show has been okay. They've been disappointing mostly, whether it's a movie or a TV show. I think She-Hulk was, I liked it as much as I did because it didn't have anything to do with the multiverse. It was like a palate cleanser where at least it's harmless fun and I don't have to worry now about who's this and what's that and what the hell is going on with, how does this affect it? I just done
it. Was like
the
Ant-Man of Phase 4 almost.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it was, for me, it was refreshing for that reason. So what I've done is I've, you know, any Marvel product coming out this year, I am worried about. I, from a personal point of view, obviously, because this is all I can give, is that with the multiverse thing doing what it's doing, and I have no idea where this is going, and it being confusing as hell already, I'm worried that all these films that are coming out and the shows themselves, so in a big lump, but mostly the films coming out, are just going to carry on with the same, I'm confused as hell, therefore I'm switching off. That's why I'm worried about it. I'm becoming less and less caring about what's happening. And I hate that because for 20 years, I've really been looking forward to Marvel films coming out. I've been so happy we've got them on the big screen. I'm so happy to have this stuff. And now it's like, well, you know what? I'd much rather go and see an action film, John Wick. I'm more interested in Ted Lasso. Give me some more Star Wars stuff. Whereas 5 years ago, if I'd have been saying that, I would have thought myself was mad. So for me, any Marvel product coming out this year, particularly the films, I'm a little bit nervous about. Hope for the best, but I am managing my expectations, as Jam would say, when I go in. Even with Ant-Man in a few weeks' time, I'm like, okay, I'm looking forward to it because I like it, but I'm not expecting that much. Please prove me wrong, Marvel, but I'm not anticipating good stuff for Marvel films yet. Even Guardians, which is such a tear for me. But anyway, that's me. Marvel films this year, I'm worried.
I anticipated that when I wrote the list. Is that what you would say because of the multiverse stuff?
You haven't been a fan of Phase 4 at all. Like WandaVision, you were the sole voice going, yep. Don't like it.
You're right. From the beginning. I don't know. I was a soul voice, but
and that's one of those people. That's one of those. What's that?
He said even Kyle liked WandaVision.
And that's one of those projects that I seem like everybody likes WandaVision in Phase 4 compared to everything else that's come out. So I guess that tells you a lot. Yeah, I'm with you as far as the concerns.
It just shows
there.
That who the hell am I? That's all it shows. Who am I? What do I know?
Well, I mean, I think there's something to be said. And this is frustrating on some level in that not necessarily with them, but also, once again, expectations. There's always this expectation that this thing needs to tie into this. Otherwise, what are we doing? And I'm like, does it have to, though? Does it really have to tie in order to matter? You remember whenever they never say anything, they never say this is going to tie. They never say any project is. What are you talking? What are you laughing about, Kyle? What's happening?
He just blew out his brains. Not for real, but.
They always say it is. It's Feige himself who that gets it? Out there and says this will have an effect upon the No, dude, no. Yeah.
He never went out and said She-Hulk is going to have an effect.
No, we're not. Are we talking about She-Hulk? Yeah.
Well, what are you talking about?
I was talking about WandaVision, Loki, Spider-Man, No Way Home, and Doc Strange, but that's okay. Carry on.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it will, but my point is that we have several projects that don't necessarily even try to have an effect on the greater universe, and then it frustrates fans because it doesn't have an effect on the greater universe.
Yeah, and I'm happy to have a film that it has no effect. But the thing is though, Jam, like Carl was saying, they are shoehorned in to making us feel like they have an effect. So then someone like me looks at it and goes, "Well, I don't get what the effect is then, because that means it's nonsense." Whereas, like you said, if it was a film on its own, I could accept it for what it was on its own. So that's where they've lost me, because they are telling us it's connected, even though it's so loosely connected. Why not just have it as a standalone film?
Shang-Chi
much
is
like
barely...
I got the feeling with you.
Sorry.
But that's true. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, I was trying to find a space where I didn't interrupt you, so sorry Shang-Chi. About that. But yep. Shang-Chi is my favorite film from Phase 4 that's not... Because I'm not a nostalgia guy for the Spider-Man things, and that's... it's a lot like Iron Man 1, where it's just barely connected to anything, and it's a it's probably the most well put together movie for Phase 4.
My favorite part of that movie was
the end, but
the YouTuber saying, "Yo, it's me talking about your breaking down your fights here, that guy in the bus." That's probably my favorite part of the movie because it feels so real. It's so sad because that feels so real.
So from there we got most anticipated game, and because Danny's not a big gamer, and usually I'm not a big gamer either as far as new games coming out, it could be a toy like a Lego set, it could be a tabletop game, you know, any of that sort of thing. I had to go with this is one of the few years I do have a narrative game I'm excited for, because I mostly just play, you know, lately I've been playing the Star Trek game, Star Trek Fleet Command, since March. I started playing Jurassic World Evolution 2 again because they released some awesome expansion packs, which tripled the length of the game. But I am most anticipating Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, assuming it actually comes out this year. Because these things seem to be delayed a lot, but it looks like it just builds on the exact same engine from Breath of the Wild, which is probably the best video game I've played, even though I haven't beat it. But
we got an issue. You've got Final Fantasy VII Rebirth on there.
Oh,
I'm joking.
What?
Carry on. I'm joking because we all know, even though they said that it might hit late this year, it ain't coming out anytime until like 25.
Wait,
but anyways.
Nick, do you even like Final Fantasy VII?
He's joking that they're similar franchises.
They're not. They are not similar franchises.
Oh,
go.
I just
kindly fuck
I just
yourself.
Put Final Fantasy on screen,
Nick,
to be funny.
I think they're similar franchises for one reason. Growing up, it was kind of like Citizen Kane and Casablanca, where all the top video game lists either had those two at the top, but sometimes they were flipped. The original Final Fantasy VII and
Final
Ocarina.
Ocarina of
Time. Yeah, those two were always considered the two best, so that's why. And his other comparison was that they keep getting delayed. The Zelda games are always delayed. Final Fantasy VII Redux has been delayed.
I think there's a good chance that this doesn't get delayed simply because we haven't heard that it's getting delayed yet. Usually, I feel like we would know further in advance if it was getting delayed. Like, I don't think there's, I'm probably wrong, but I don't recall a situation where we've been a few months away from release and they're just like, ah, never mind. Kingdom At least Heart Nintendo specifically.
Okay. Yeah.
There Nintendo.
You there you it go. Is tradition, nice though.
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts.
to delay your Legend of Zelda game, especially your second one, until the console switch over. So then you release it on both console. It is tradition, as it's been done twice. But that's my say. I love Legend of Zelda. It's always been my favorite game franchise. So, Danny, what is your most anticipated game? Remember, doesn't have to be a video game.
Well, you're absolutely right. I've given up the never say never. I've my nephew has set me up a PlayStation. What do you call it? What do the kids call it now? Name, handle, username, tag thing, whatever it's called. I don't know, whatever they are. So I'm ready to play. Ready to play some joint games with you coming up in 2023. But yes, my days of holding a joystick in my hands and playing the games are almost numbered. So I did want a game though, and as luck would have it, a Christmas gift from my mum this year was it's not an expansion. It's a whole separate card game, and it's called Cards Against Star Wars. Now, ooh. I don't know if you or any of the listeners are familiar with Cards Against Humanity, but it is an incredibly inappropriate, politically correct, rude and disgusting,
politically incorrect,
laugh out loud, funny card game. Yeah, politically incorrect. Sorry, thank you. See, I was incorrect. See what I did there, Jammer? and it's super fun. You've got to have a dirty, dark sense of humor. So I know that producer Kyle will like it. I know that guy has a dark sense of humor. But this one is Star Wars based. So if you're not familiar with the card game franchise itself, Cards Against Humanity, this is this. It's like I said, it's not appropriate for kids in any way, shape, or form. And they've done a Star Wars version. And I am very much looking forward to playing that with my brother and Jonesy this year, who rumor has it will be joining me in Dubai in a couple of weeks' time. So when he's I don't know if Jonesy will. I mean, maybe he's not going to listen to the show, so he won't care. But he's going to come over and join me because I've got tickets to watch the Hans Zimmer live concert that's in a couple of weeks' time here in Dubai.
Nice.
And being a big, obviously, soundtrack fan that he is, I told him about it, got the tickets for him, and it looks like he's going to be able to jump over here. So when he's here, we'll be playing that game, because you kind of need to be a Star Wars fan to understand how inappropriate these games can get. Anyway, Cards Against Star Wars, that's my game of the year. Sorry, Jammer, go ahead, buddy.
Well, you know, one of those cards, the setup cards is going to be That's No Moon. Like, you know, that's definitely going to be there, and you're going to have to that phrase.
I couldn't help but look at a couple, and there are a couple of inappropriate ones concerning Chewbacca and Ewoks. I know. So there you go. But that's what I'm looking forward to. Looking forward to playing a card game called Cards Against Star Wars.
Yeah, I'm very well versed on that. My friends have this is how inappropriate it is, people who have never played it. My friends have a Hustler expansion pack, which is really dedicated to more sexual stuff than even the original game is. So that's how dirty that game can get. A lot of fun for adults. I suggest you check it out. You can also see, I advertise on Facebook. I've seen Cards Against Marvel, Cards Against, you know, all that stuff. So sounds fun. I might have to make a trip down there myself, but unlikely.
We've got to get off the couch first, Nick. We've got to get you off that couch first, young man.
True that. Jammer, most anticipated game.
I mean, you're going to have to hear an echo here because Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Like, easy. Wow. That's an easy one. And like you, Zelda is, I don't know, it's my favorite franchise, but it's one of them for sure. I mean, I have very fond memories growing up and playing the original one on NES, swearing my way through the second one also on NES. And then just adoring every waking moment of Link to the Past, the Game Boy game. Just I've played every single one and beaten them all the way through. They're all amazing. Or the main title ones, to be clear. And yeah, the Breath of the Wild didn't disappoint, except for Twilight Princess. That was overrated. It was okay. Twilight Princess for me, kind of ironically enough, I know there was a time where I was like, I want a more story driven Zelda. And I think Twilight Princess kind of was that, but it got to a point where I was like, I don't understand or care what's going on right now about what's happening. But anyways, Breath of the Wild was fantastic. My concern with this move, this book, book, fuck, what am I talking about? Video
movie
game,
book,
is that I cycle through every piece of media before I got there. Is that it might feel too much like the original. And I played the original. I my roommate had it on Wii U. I put in like 80
Breath of the
hours
Wild,
into that.
To be clear. When you say original,
yeah.
You mean Breath of the
yeah,
Wild.
I played Breath of on Wii U. My roommate had it at the time. And then when I got a Switch, I played it again, put in another 60 plus hours. So I put in 100 plus hours into the game on some level. And if I go into Breath of the Tears of the Kingdom, and it feels like kind of retreading the same ground, I'm gonna be like, is it gonna be as engaging? I don't know. Is adding that y-axis gonna help a lot? I don't know. Are we gonna be hovering over the same Hyrule that I've come to know very intimately over the course of the past 5 years? If so, what are they gonna add to it to make it worth that extra time? Like, I'm it's Nintendo, I'm sure it'll be great, but that is a concern that I have. But either way, I'm super excited for this one and super excited that it's likely going to be the swan song for the Switch, and or at least before they start to kind of have their eyes cast towards the next big console that rumors, you know, there's rumors that they're kind of dealing with the next console after Zelda. So but it'll probably still be another couple of years before the next console, but still. So yeah, Tears of the Kingdom.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Jammer. And if you don't mind, I've got a question for, I guess, mostly for producer Kyle and you. And you just mentioned at the end there about new consoles, the next generation's coming out. How much do the games creators and the software houses, how much of a connection conversation do they have with the hardware manufacturers about what's coming out? Because these games take a long time in development, right? So there's a chance they're developing these games. And as Carl just said, you know, the Final Fantasy is going to be delayed a lot longer. You said almost 2025.
No, I'm just Carl, guessing right? off of history on that. There's nothing official.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So they're working with the current tech, right? Knowing what current tech is mostly being used. But by the time that comes out, something new is already out. So is there any communication between them at all? Or do they not trust each other in that sense? Or what? Or
I mean, they do give them some advanced developer kits with some like, something that approximates what they expect the finished console to be, but
they also charge generally for it. You got to buy your developer kits. Those are expensive too. Way more expensive than a production model of the final thing. I think a dev kit for the PS3 was like $15,000 a piece, and I mean you need multiple dev kits for one game studio to work on one game, you know, so cool. they can become, and the PS3 is one I brought up specifically because it was it didn't run on regular processors. It used a cell processor, which meant it processed data differently, and you basically had to code the game essentially twice, once for x86 based Xbox stuff and the other one for the special cell processor. These days, between ARM chips that run all of our cell phones and stuff like that, x86-based architecture that runs most Windows-based and even PS4, 5, Xbox machines and things like that are pretty universal. Unless you're going to be doing something special with extra, you know, motion controls or haptics or something like that, they don't really need a whole lot of communication these days. Everyone's kind of like on board of using common tools and common languages. They're just going to need to know what to expect on, you know, how far can we push things for your device, and that usually comes out fairly early. Hey, we plan on using X amount of RAM, X amount of CPU power, X amount of GPU power, but the software developers, they're at the mercy of hardware. It's whatever Sony, sure, Microsoft and Nintendo want to do. That's why Nintendo's mostly in-house, not third-party stuff, because I mean it keeps the ecosystem clean and they don't have to worry about people bitching and complaining as much. But yeah. X86 and is quite old. ARM is taking over quite a bit. Systems on a chip, instead of having separate GPU, separate CPU, and all that is becoming more and more kind of unified RAM on the chip with the CPU. I mean,
It's going to be a different. It's going to be a different future, but there won't be a lot of communication.
All right. Fair enough. It is something that I wonder, because, like I say, games are always late in development, and I wonder whether or not that was because they were talking to the hardware developers, and they've said, we've got this coming out, this technology, and the software's gone, oh, well, in that case, then, we'll do this, and that might take us another year, but at least it will be a game worthy of the equipment you're going to be selling the consumer. So that's why I wonder, but ignorant as always.
I mean, and who knows? I feel like it's probably also developer... It depends on the developer and what their relationship is with, you know, the hardware developer. So it's just like manufacturer. So it's just, it depends is the unsatisfying answer.
Yep. Cool. Thanks, guys.
I mean, there's a reason also why so many, you know, indie developers are like, just like, fuck it. Just go with Steam, go with Switch. Those are like the ones that are currently sort of like the foundation of just like, whatever, it's going to work basically across the board.
PCMR.
Right. Finally.
I hate you.
Most anticipated event. I included that because I had one particular thing in mind. You know, I don't know. I let you guys off.
I just love it when Nick is just like, calculate. I have this specific one because I have something specific in mind that I want to share.
Yeah. Well, that's the reason last week I made up Best Discovery of 2022, so I could talk about Murray Bartlett if you go back to listen to our last episode. But hey, I write the show. I'm the captain now.
Look at me.
I am the captain now, the Jonesy's. It's like 1 a.m. for him when he recorded. Right now. Yeah. He has the real power.
Yes,
he's the emperor.
Red recording button, dude.
He's the general.
Nick is Darth Vader, and you know Kyle's the Emperor. That's basically the way things run around here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm more of a Kylo Ren. I throw hissy fits in the hallway.
That makes me an Ewok.
But
I know you're more of a General Hux.
Yeah, I'm General Hugs. I just rewatched those movies with my roommate. Rise of Skywalker, still trash. We didn't even finish it. My roommate's like,
Last
I get
Jedi,
it.
Still a fucking classic. Yeah, I love still Last amazing. Jedi. So good.
Anyway, most anticipated event, and we're starting with Jammer.
So this is one of those ones where I'm like, I actually was like, what fucking events are happening that I'm excited for? I don't know what other events are, but I, you know, for me, it's an easy one just because it's purely selfish. Last year, I went to FanX in Salt Lake City, Utah. There, I spent 100% of my time sitting at the booth selling my book wares, and it was a hell of a good time. We made some great money. I got to meet with a lot of readers, and it was just a fulfilling experience that I didn't realize that I wanted. And so FanX Denver is coming up. We signed up for a booth. Don't know if we're going to get one. We'll see if that happens. But if we do get one, I'll definitely be there, and you can meet me. You can buy my books, and you can chat with me about whatever. It doesn't even have to be books. It could just be storytelling and pop culture altogether. But I was surprised because I'm a generally introverted person, and I didn't realize how much I would be all about just talking with people out there about things. I'm like, oh, I connect with these people on another level. Because usually when I go to a convention, I'm like hyper-focused, like this is what I need to do. And to be fair, I rarely go to conventions unless it's for like work or a specific reason. You know, in the past I've gone for like LRM doing, you know, covering stuff, and I just have my headphones in. I'm in my own little world, listening to a podcast or audiobook, planning things in my head for whatever. And so I was like, fuck people. I don't need you people. I can survive on my own. I've lived through COVID basically alone. It's totally fine. And, I think it proved last year that I actually like people, surprisingly enough. And I'm excited to potentially meet more of them at FanX Denver. I think either way, I'm probably going to go on some level, even if it's just as an attendee. But if I get to be selling books, that would be great. So FanX Denver.
When is that, Gemma?
Good question. I don't know. I'll look it up.
It's usually been
my follow-up question was, is City of Mages book 2 or part 2 going to be ready by then? I'm guessing
no. It will not be.
Damn it.
But there will potentially be...
Because if you haven't read City of Mages yet... Shut up, Jam. I'm promoting your book. If you haven't read City of Mages yet, then you really should. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I keep hassling Jammer and Mrs. Jammer about stopping doing nonsense like this and get to writing and finish.
Well, I will
book.
Say there are potentially two other books that will be potentially there at the time. One is Spectral, which I'm in the process of writing, and another one is a book that she's writing of Shadows and Firebirds, which is going to be taking place in that same universe. So it's kind of like a side story, not a spinoff, but like different characters, yeah, different like worlds, whatever, different country. But it could play a bigger role down the line in sequels. So there's Ooh. That.
Are you now being Kevin Feige with your City of Majors? If they're all connected, but not connected, but they might be connected. Is that what you're doing now?
Exactly. It'll all play in. And I even have a multiverse. No, I don't. But yeah, so June 30th through July 2nd is when the event takes place.
Jammer's a bigger Fate fan than he realizes, it sounds like.
No, because they all take place. They take place within the same medium, Kyle. There's the difference.
Fate is just like you
want to appreciate this anime? Well, you better have read the prequel novels and the side games and the this, that.
Powerhouse or someone comes knocking on your door saying, hey, that City of Mages book, we want to animate it. You'd be like, okay.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Without a doubt, I would be like, okay. And they'll be like, well, we don't have a lot of money. That's like, that's okay. I don't care. I just want to see this on the screen. I give zero Fs right now. I would sell out so quickly. You're right.
Good for you. Because I'd love to see that too.
So I put this one on the list for a very local event, which I think will attract some attention. People who are visiting. I'm sure there'll be a dozen people who come to the state just for this event. But most
there are dozens of us.
Dozens. But the Casa Bonita is having its grand reopening this year under the ownership of Trey Parker and Matt Stone. And I grew up in Denver. Every kid goes there at a certain age. You eat their crappy food. You watch the cave die. It's just like South Park captures it beautifully. If you've seen the episode of South Park about Casa Bonita, that's it. There's like Bart's cave where little kids go through and get little scares. There's you raise a little flag for more sopapillas, please. Like it's literally everything in that South Park episode. But Trey Parker and Matt Stone have promised to make everything bigger. They're doubling the number of gorillas from 1 to 2. And they actually hired a real chef to fix the food so that it doesn't taste like, I don't even know. I had like an enchilada. It tastes like cheese wrapped in cardboard. So
nice.
But yeah. So I imagine it basically tastes like Disneyland food,
which I'd be cool with. It's a delicious part of Epcot is the Mexican restaurant.
I've never been
to
Disney World, but I've been to Disneyland. Like when you go to Disneyland and their food there kind of tastes like cafeteria food.
All theme park food, just about.
I think it's going to be hot.
Well, I mean, he's singing the praises of Disney World, so I had no idea. He threw me off.
That's because the best place to eat in Disney World is Epcot, German area. Whatever. They have really, really good bratwurst there. But anyway, I'm excited to go to Casa Bonita. It might be wild to get in because I don't like dealing with crowds, and everyone's going to want to see what Trey Parker and Matt Stone did, and they'll probably be there for at least the first week. But yeah, the reopening of an institution.
I feel like you're grossly overestimating just how popular this is going to be. Maybe I'm wrong.
Everyone's been tweeting about it in the area, and all my friends are like already making plans on when they want to go. So
Never been to Casa Bonita.
Well, then we're going to have to go when we can.
I'll go.
Hell yeah. Danny.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm not as fortunate as you guys in the US of A with these great events easy to get to. We do have
motherfucker, you're in Dubai. There are like so many cocaine parties happening around you. Come on.
Well, legit, there's one happening next door right now, which is why I've got a hard out in 5 minutes. we've got the Middle East Comic Con on March the 3rd to the 5th, which is our big event, and that's got bigger and bigger every year. So fair play to the organizers. They are making it more and more of an event. But for me personally, based on the kind of things that I'm looking forward to this year on the visual medium, I am actually quite excited to see and hear what we have from Star Wars Celebration this year. Not too fussed about what's happening at Marvel and San Diego, etc. It's Star Wars Celebration because, like I said before, I was super happy with what we got last year, and I hope this year continues to be that way, and I'm excited to see what they've got coming up, even to finally confirm what's happening with the movies, including Rogue Squadron, et cetera, et cetera. So anything to do with Star Wars this year, I'm looking forward to. Yeah, exactly. So Star Wars Celebration, for me, here in the Middle East, with limited access to some of these events, that's what I'm looking forward to online, should we say.
You're just being an ultra-nationalist here. You're just excited it's in London this year.
What, that place I've not been to for like 18 years.
Don't let his voice, fool you or his accent fool you.
Oh, speaking of which, just to right at the very end, on the accent thing, yesterday I did watch, completely off tilt here, Operation Fortune, the ruse de guerre with Mr. Jason Statham, the new film from Guy Ritchie. Just quickly, it's really, really good fun. It's not the comedy that the trailer kind of makes it. It don't get me wrong, it has the funny moments and it has the comedy thrown through it, but it is very solid action spy thriller film. So if you get a chance, just talking about accents, because pretty much everyone in it is speaking with an English accent, and it really is fantastic fun. It's been worth the wait because it was delayed a few times on the big screen, but it's well worth it. Super fun. Side note, completely off the kilt, but really go get catch it if you can, guys. It's worth it.
All right. Cool. I think we've wrapped up what we're excited for. I mean, there's plenty of things to be excited for in 2023. That was just our chunk of them. And like I said, we probably all could have listed a list of five for each category, but we're trying to keep this short again. So,
yes.
With that, dear listener, thank you for listening to this episode of Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. I look forward to doing, all of us here look forward to doing more shows in the new year for all on the Genre Podcast Network, Genreverse Podcast Network,
Genreverse Podcast Network,
LRMonline.com, and YouTube. I know it in my head. I'm spacey in the morning sometimes.
You fuck it up every time.
Well, that's because I'm spacey. I always correct myself, too. We got Animeversal Reviews, AVR Squared, which, again, I only remember because I know it's Animeversal Reviews with it squared. The Cantina, Daily Cup of Genre,
Marvel
Multiverse,
Mayhem.
That wasn't the one I was thinking of. Next, it was a Genre Shot. But yeah, Marvel Multiverse Mayhem will be the very latest, returning for Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, and then we also have Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, right here. I don't think I left one off. Okay, perfect. Jammer, where can you be found?
You can find me on Twitter at AJ Cerna Writer. You can also find Spectral Serializing on RoyalRoad.com and all my books under the name AJ Cerna on Amazon and Audible and MahiaBooks.com.
Danny, what about you?
Well, you're obviously going to find me at the cocaine party next door.
Nice.
I don't think I have time to get over there.
No, I don't
teleportation
think so.
Powers. And I'm at Geeky Nick Doll on Twitter and Instagram. Need to start using that Instagram. And then, of course, we have Kyle at That Kyle Malone, also on Twitter. With that, Happy New Year, everyone. And you'll hear more of us. You'll see more of us if you're on YouTube in 2023. Hasta lasagna.
Don't get a neonia. Mission accomplished.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.